This episode of the Damage Guild podcast is sponsored by listeners like you. Join the guild at patreon.com/damageguild to receive exclusive perks, member rewards, and bonus content.
Previously on the Damage Guild podcast.
I took down Tyath.
You hear the jostling of dishes and silverware as others run out of the dining room. They're not alone.
Go, Elendria, I choose you.
Her sword bursts into flames as she slices straight through the guy in front of the door and he collapses. Cultist comes rushing out and charges at Shaba. Captain Clapton says, "We've got another one coming." And Shaba, you see this lightning bolt strike right next to the front door. You hear another scream and a thump.
Since I can see Aslo, I'll look across to him and say, "You got the foyer covered?"
"You got the foyer covered."
"All right, I'm going to sweep this room."
So I enter where Clapton and Elendria are, and I notice there's an open door at the end of the hallway.
Captain says, "Did any of you loot the bodies?"
"I've got a great idea. Let's loot the bodies."
"Loot the bodies on the floor."
Two of them have key rings. You try the final locked door, and none of your keys work.
Guys, that has to be where the throne is. It's got to be in that room, right?
Yeah. Okay, so basement, like, do we go down a floor or do we go up a floor?
We definitely go down a floor because that is the other likely place that the throne would be.
Yeah.
And we're trying to cut to the chase.
Right. If I were carrying a giant throne, I would rather carry it down a flight of stairs than up one. So I'm going to follow that logic.
Sound logic, Shaba. I like the way you think.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's nice to like get a lay of the land from a higher vantage, but I think like going up might expose us to the outside.
Judging from the height of the ceilings here and the height of the building outside, there's probably only one story above you. You have no idea how many are below.
And we already know that the foyer is like full height, so it may just be like a loft area or something. Maybe we should just quickly go up and check that out first.
We could. I mean, I feel like the Dungeon Master is suggesting that we check out the upper floor, but at the same time, couldn't that expose us to the enemies on the outside if we just carelessly...
Well, that's why we leave a sentry. We leave someone in the main hallway who can see in the foyer.
Okay, maybe we leave Clapton?
Leave the blind man as your sentry to watch for you.
Yep.
Perfect.
He is the most wonderful sensory person in our party.
Let's make this quick. Let's just check upstairs.
Yeah, we'll go upstairs real quick.
We'll be right back, Captain.
If we're not back in 5 minutes, keep waiting.
All right, you head upstairs. So the staircase goes up, turns around to the right, and goes back up again, and you exit out into a large room that takes up most of the width of this building. This looks like it's an entertaining area, you would think. So there's lounge furniture.
Hey, this is an entertaining area.
You know, big stuffed chairs and couches and, you know, tables, possibly for setting food and drink while they're talking and whatever.
And then it just has, on the main wall, it just has like one of those, like a stylized sign that they bought on Etsy that says "The Loft at the Keep at the Fort."
Yeah, why don't you play us a song since we're in the entertainment sector?
Yeah, I'll take the stage and play a little ditty.
And then in small print underneath it says, "At the Caldera."
There are two doors on opposite walls, one to the north, one to the south.
We flip a coin, right?
Deskies, if there was ever a time for coin flippage, it would be now. I take out one of my anti-gravity copper coins. And flip it.
Flip it up to the ceiling.
And watch it spin up toward the ceiling, yes.
You have to flip it down toward the ground.
That's right, and then catch it on its way back up.
Yep.
I actually have a coin that I could flip.
Ooh. Oh, a real live coin.
Wow.
What a treat.
Heads or tails? Heads or tails?
Heads.
Tails.
Oh, dang it.
Is heads north and tails south?
Tokus, you're the tiebreaker.
Okay. Well, I got heads.
All right, so then heads is north.
Let's head north.
All right, let's tail south.
The door opens. And this looks like it's a narrow walkway that seems to ring the outer walls of the keep.
No, that's what we didn't want to have happen. That's why I didn't want us to go upstairs, guys.
You see a guard to your right who immediately turns towards you after you open the door.
Wait, it goes outside?
Not outside. It goes, yeah. It's a narrow, basically just like a walkway with little windows looking out onto the grounds.
This is bad.
Oh. So it's covered? It's like underneath the roof?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, crazy.
Well, if we kill this guy really quickly...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what we were trying to prevent. People from going outside.
But we went outside and found more people.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Well, hang on. We didn't necessarily need to step outside, did we? Couldn't we just, like, open the door and see some of what's happening?
Well...
We would have opened it and seen that it was outside.
Yeah, as soon as you see him, he sees... It's not outside. It just... It's a walkway that from which you can look outside. There are windows here.
Right. He's going to see the door opening. All right, let's just quickly kill this guard.
Okay.
Alendria.
Kill this man.
Go slay this dude.
All right. Everyone roll initiative.
All right.
Oh, man. This is exactly what we did not want to have happen.
That'll be a 7 for Aslo.
Shaba got a natty 1, so that's a 24.
Tokus is on a 15.
Shaba's first.
Shaba's going to step out into the walkway, take a... couple of shots. That's going to be a 19 and a 29.
Hit and hit.
First one deals 7.
Okay.
Colossus Slayer. The second deals 13.
That's kind of cool that you can kind of trigger your own ability with the second shot.
So with 2 shots, you bring him down.
Sweet.
He doesn't have time to scream.
All right, awesome. That's fortunate. I go over and loot the body.
Phew.
We don't want to be up here, do we? And out and exposed?
Probably not.
You move over to loot the body.
Actually, I don't loot the body. I drag it back inside. I drag it back into the main room.
That's the ticket.
Okay, well, you already used your action, and I don't think that would be counted as an item interaction.
Okay, if we're still in initiative, then I shouldn't really even be able to loot the body because I've used my action, right?
So you shot him and then head over towards the body. You hear a few footsteps coming from the hall... behind you on the west.
Mm.
Another curious guard peeks around the corner.
Oh, no.
Sweet cripes.
Uh-oh.
Hey, nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. We are in our cultist robes.
How's your Tuesday afternoon going?
Tokus and I are the only ones visible.
Hmm. True.
Oh, yeah. Hail the Emperor.
Hail Sharakoth. Hail the Emperor. Peace out.
Stand conveniently in front of this dead body?
This guy passed out. He
yeah, he had too much at the party.
He took a tumble.
Okay, I'm going to have Shaba and Tokus, who are in front, give me deception checks.
All right. My favorite.
Perfect.
See how convincing you are.
I'm going to go ahead and use that bardic.
I rolled a 3.
And I got a 16.
3 plus what?
I got a 3 minus 2. I got a 1.
That's what I was afraid of.
It's kind of fun when your character's really bad at something.
So, Shava's convincing enough, but Tokus is clearly acting suspicious.
Wiping blood off of his gauntlets. He's like, yeah, this guy drinking.
I don't recognize you. You're not supposed to be up here.
I don't recognize you either.
He pulls out his bow for his shot and shoots at Tokus.
Yeah, wait a second. I don't recognize you either.
Yeah, you're suspicious.
There's no way that hits Tokus. So, Alendria, seeing that things are not going so well, rushes past everyone and tries to take out the guard.
Yes.
All right, we head back inside.
Yeah, she's got this. We're all set. Job done.
Yeah, she takes out the guard with one attack. And then she peeks around the corner and says...
Yeah, I was just going to say.
This direction's clear.
All right. Are we still in initiative?
No, you run over to the other corner and check, and there's no one there.
Peek around. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we drag the bodies back inside.
And we'll shut and lock the door.
Yes.
Okay, so you pull the bodies into the lounge area and shut the door.
Now we loot the bodies.
And then we prop them up on some chairs underneath the sign, like a Weekend at Bernie's thing. And they're like we've posed them where they're throwing up peace signs. And we put sunglasses on them. So that anybody who comes in the room will think they're still alive.
With arrows sticking out their chest.
Sword slash through their chest.
The flaming sword slashes.
Foolproof plan.
What do we find on their persons?
Nothing of interest. They looked like they were just guards. They had weapons, arrows.
All right.
Oh, I just realized I had disadvantage on that discussion earlier because I'm experiencing...
You're exhausted.
At deception roll.
There was no chance for Tokus because I'm exhausted or whatever. I have Exhaustion, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, lesson learned. And I go over and open the south door.
Lesson learned. Don't go through doors. Let's go through this other door.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is locked, but you find one of the mage's keys, a particularly fancy gold key, opens this door. Oh, yeah. I forgot to describe the door itself. This one looks different from the others. So the door to the next room is ornately carved and inlaid with gold and rubies.
Holy,
I feel like
shunkies.
We would have opened this door if we knew that instead of flipping a coin.
Yeah, right?
Sorry about that.
I take out my dagger and start chipping the rubies off.
Well, you didn't lose anything from going out the other direction anyway. The gold plating on the door's handle shows signs of wear, as if it's been frequently pulled open. So you unlock it using the mage's gold key and open the door.
We enter.
Oh, yeah.
Gently, carefully, peek inside.
This elaborate chamber takes up almost a third of the upper floor of the keep. Rows of tables covered by fine silk cloths fill most of the room. Each table has at least one important-looking item sitting atop it, almost as if it were a museum or an art gallery. Whoa. All the items appear to be at least a few hundred years old. You notice prominent Altoric imperial symbols on several of the artifacts.
Oh.
The door at the opposite end of the room is similar in appearance to the entrance.
So they're like general artifact hunters. They're connoisseurs of the ancient empire.
Mm. So I'm going to need you guys to consult your character sheets. Which one of you still has attunement slots?
I feel like I have all of my attunement slots because I don't have anything that requires attunement, do I? Maybe the bow?
Your bow is attunement, isn't it?
I don't think my armor is, though.
What about you, Aslo?
No, Shava doesn't have any of his slots used.
Yeah, my bow doesn't require attunement.
Oh, dude, look, I have something called Gloves of Thievery.
What?
What?
I wonder if that would have been helpful when you're trying to pick locks.
Your Gloves of Thievery that you didn't know you had?
No, I didn't realize it until I looked at my character sheet.
Are you attuned to them?
Are you wearing them?
I have the Ring of Jumping. I think that's attuned.
Okay, yeah, that's an attunement.
Is the Periaptive Wound Closure attuned? Probably not.
Yes.
It is.
Periaptive Wound Closure, Ring of Jumping, and then Tokus has Gauntlets, Armband, and the Battle Axe.
Yeah, so I'm tapped out. Like, my items are so integral to Tokus, I couldn't see me swapping out of one of those. Should we look around for something that makes sense for one of your guys? I have the Identify spell. I have one free casting.
I mean, is this, like, equipment that we could put on, or is it more just, like, artifacts that are significant to the... That's the idea I got, is that they were just kind of, like...
Most of them look like they're just museum artifacts.
Yeah.
There's a platinum and silver hand mirror. There's some ancient coins. There's some treaties and other legal documents. There are a few other things. There's, like, a gold amulet... Sapphires in it. It's a silver hilted arming sword.
Do we have detect magic in the party?
We have a wand of detect magic.
All right, yeah, let's whip that out. Mm-hmm. Let's whip out that bad boy and hold the divining rod.
Because maybe there's something in this room that...
None of the items register as magical. However, around every single item, there is a small globe of abjuration magic.
Anti-theft.
What does that mean?
Abjuration, which as we all know, is...
Means?
Something.
Anti-theft museum security system. So don't mess with any of these things.
Okay.
Let's try the next door.
Yeah, Alendria, don't get greedy. We don't think that you will, but don't take anything.
You look over and Nazlo's holding the mirror in one of his hands and he looks around.
And the alarm's like...
You try the other door, it does not open. It's locked.
Okay, and we don't have any of the keys that would work on this guy.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Okay. Do those Gloves of Thievery do anything, Aslo?
As a matter of fact, they give you a +5 bonus to Dex sleight of hand checks to pick locks.
Wow.
Dex sleight of hand is not how you pick locks.
It's not?
Maybe you entered the item incorrectly.
This is...
We've probably had that for a long time. Maybe Thane gave that to us early in the campaign to shore up a weakness, and we forgot about it.
I don't remember ever giving that out.
I remember we had, like, a weird pair of gloves when we looted the dragon cave, but I don't know if that's what it was. I remember something random like that coming as one of the things we got from the dragon cave. Obviously, the thing that's most memorable from the dragon cave was the axe, but...
Yeah, it was from the dragon's sword.
Yeah. So you're the one that got those gloves, huh?
Yeah, it's +5 to sleight of hand and to dexterity checks made to pick locks.
Okay. I see.
Do we still have the lock picks? Did we ever get that in the party?
I do not have lock picks written down on my sheet.
I do not have them either.
I don't think so.
I feel like we probably did loot some lockpicks, like, way early in the campaign when it was, like, when we were in the sewers or something.
Well, no one wrote them down.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm totally good with that.
Maybe you sold them.
And no one's proficient with them anyway, so...
Yeah, so if you're not proficient with them, it doesn't really matter, right?
We're not going to be able to pick this lock. All right. Well, ostensibly we've found the throne room, but...
Well, we hope not.
Maybe we go back out, lock this museum room up, because now we have the keys. Get back in if needed.
Let's get back down to Clapton, shall we?
All right, so we lock the door behind us. Get back down, make sure Clapton is good.
Okay, head back downstairs.
Maybe we give the lockpicking gloves to Elendria, just because she's like a super high, powerful character. Maybe she could do it. Yeah, she told us earlier she's not good at picking locks.
She's not really that type, yeah. Everything cool, Captain? Everything good?
Haven't seen anyone come by.
All right. Good. I think you haven't seen anything for a good while, but it's neither here nor there. We'll be back. We're not back in 7 minutes.
Oh, wait, you want him to stay up in the foyer still and we go downstairs?
Yeah.
All right, Captain, we're counting on you.
Just yelp for help if anybody attacks you.
That's actually a good point. Should he position himself closer to the staircase so he can run down to us if somebody enters the foyer?
No, I think closer to the door is better. He wants us to run up to him if somebody's trying to escape, not vice versa.
So you head down the stairs.
To the basement.
To the basement. At the bottom of the stairs, there is a hallway leading off to the left, which is lined with doors on both sides. Total of 8 doors extending down the hallway. There are no lights down here.
No. Oh, you could use your armor, Shaba.
True.
Are you using lights? Do you have lights?
Does your armor cast light, Shaba?
No, it lets me hide in darkness.
He has the Shadow Drake armor.
Oh, I see. I can cast light on my sword.
Okay, so you've got a light. And in addition to the hallway going off to the left, there's also a room opening in front of you, which extends to your right. And in that room, there's another door on the far end.
I mean, I can see just fine, you guys.
Yeah.
You take another couple of steps forward and see fully into the room, and you recognize 2 of those spiky-tongued beasts waiting in the far corners.
Oh, sweet Christ.
Uh-oh.
We hate those brain things.
They growl and leap to the attack.
Shaba rolls initiative.
Ooh, that's a pretty bad inish for me.
Shaba's going on a 16.
10 for Aslo.
Tokus has a 4. It's not great. It's not great at all.
So the light spell is, what, 30 feet, 30 feet?
I believe so. It is 20 feet.
So Elendria goes first, runs past the rest of you to the closest beast and attacks, and hits with all 3 attacks.
Yeah,
she's...
Oh, Elendria.
She's a true fighter.
Can I call you a Lenge, just because it's shorter? Time saver?
Would she lend us a hand?
Oh, she's lent us more than that. She's lent us 2 swords and an awesome attitude.
Okay, well, she is cleaving into this beast several times, leaving flaming scars behind, but its armor is thick and its hide is tough, so it is not going down quickly. Shaba.
Does it make any sense to hide in combat?
It can give you advantage on your attack rolls if they can't see where you're shooting from.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you, as a bonus, you could hide and then shoot.
On 1 attack.
On 1 attack, okay. I will hide as a bonus action using my Shadow Drake armor.
Okay.
So you have to roll that, though, don't you?
You'll have to move away from Aslo.
Yeah.
Get 20 feet away to get out of his light.
I'm not moving into the room, yet I cannot see more of it.
That's because it is not lit.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay, well then maybe this does not make sense.
Could you go down the hallway and then hide and then pivot back into the room, or...
I just won't be able to utilize my turn. I don't know if there's a way that I can quickly create light that doesn't use my action. I mean, I have the lantern helmet, but that takes time to set up. Yeah, I think I gotta sit this turn out, boys.
Couldn't he also just ready an attack and wait till Aslo goes and Aslo brings the light source into the room?
That's true.
Yeah,
you could just position yourself and ready an attack.
All right, so I'll hide as a bonus action and ready an attack as my action.
All right.
For when I can see something that I don't like.
So you are hidden in the corner of the room by the door.
Stay out of sight, Tokus.
Yes.
The shadow who wanders the glade.
That's right. Shadow who wanders the dungeon.
Now, they did see you moving into that shadow, so they have a pretty good idea of where you are, even if they can't see you easily there.
Yeah.
I mean, do they even see? I don't think they have eyeballs.
It is fair. Looking at their stat blocks.
I mean, just look at their faces. I mean, I don't know if you need to look at the stat block to see. I mean, that is a face only their mother could love.
That's for sure. And even their mother, I'd have a hard time believing that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she doesn't have eyes either, so maybe she doesn't have to.
The one in the corner takes a couple of steps towards Shaba. You do get to shoot because you readied your attack.
All right, it says I make a stealth check when I take the hide action, I guess, to see how well I'm hidden. That's a 17.
Okay, even with that, it still moves towards you and attacks?
Okay. All right, so as I see it, as it comes into the light, I will make... And it's just a single attack, right? Because I readied. It's not a full attack action.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's a 28 to hit.
That hits.
And I assume it's at full HP, so... And that's 6 damage. Now, would I have gotten advantage on that, or... Is it assumed that he can see me because he moved toward me?
No advantage. It looks like he knew exactly where you were.
Yeah, I think they have another type of sensory perception.
Yeah, tremor sense or something.
It lunges out and bites you for 23 points of damage.
Ow.
And then it also claws you critically.
Oh, golly.
And rolls pretty poorly on it for 17.
Yikes.
So, total of 40 points.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Aslo?
I would like to sort of come all the way into the room and then shoot an Eldritch Blast at the one that Elendria is fighting.
Okay.
That would be a 21 to hit.
Hit.
Or 15 damage.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Again, it's got tough armor, but you are doing damage to it.
And then I'll give Tokus Bardic Inspiration.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, anytime.
Tokus, your turn.
Which to go after? I feel like we were making more progress on the one that Elendria attacked.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna go over there and try to hack it. Okay, 19.
That hits.
Nice. Here we go. I bring down my ox.
Your ox?
My ox.
My ox. So that would be a nice 1 point of poison and 10 points of the physical. But it's from a magical axe, you guys, okay?
Yeah, I mean, not bad.
And I'm going to attack a second time. I rolled a natural 1.
Okay.
Sweet.
And you're a halfling, right? Oh, wait. Nope.
Oh, nope. No. You're not.
My mistake. You short people all look the same.
Do I get a sense that these guys are, like, if... Would I grant opportunity? Probably, right? Everything in D&D 5th edition has opportunity attacks. So I could take that opportunity attack to move and be close to my Shaba friend and be able to protect him. That seems not worth it. All right, I'll end my turn.
The creature attacks Elendria.
I'll make it have disadvantage.
Yes.
Fighting stance.
This one's actually going to use its tongue and claw. It grabs Elendria with its tongue.
Oh, no.
Deals quite a bit of damage and then attacks with the claw.
Well, guys, it's been nice knowing you. It's been fun.
Yeah, maybe we should have had Clapton come down with us, but I don't know.
I think it was worth keeping somebody up there just because things get a lot worse if somebody gets out. I mean, maybe the risk is low.
Yeah, I feel like we did do a clean sweep. I guess there was that one room we weren't able to check.
All right, so Elendria is restrained by the tongue and takes heavy damage from the spikes and from his claws.
Ugh.
And it's her turn. Hold on. She has an ability.
Don't forget that ability, Thane.
She can spend 5 feet of movement to escape from non-magical restraints or being grappled. So, she slips out of the creature's grasp.
Wow.
Sweet.
Throws its tongue off of her, and then immediately starts attacking back.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
I think I'm falling in love with this woman.
And once again, all three attacks hit.
Oh my goodness.
She's got to have some kind of a bonus.
Well, Everyone has some kind of bonus.
No, but I mean like a really, really good.
Tookus, we're all unique in our own special way. Okay.
Well, her special way is really good at winning D&D, all right?
It's very special, yes. I agree.
I'm just wondering, like, we're getting to the point, Shaba, where we're going to need to try to... I know it doesn't make sense with the whole, like, scenario that's happening of, like, there's those cultists that went to the bar, right? We might have to try to take a short rest somehow.
I agree. Or maybe even a long one. Who knows?
Okay, Alindria hits with all three attacks and nearly kills the creature. It is struggling to stay on its feet.
Ooh.
Shaba?
This might be my cue to leave the situation, because I did not get grappled by the tongue, so I feel like I need to jettison.
If you Zeth, it won't get a reaction attack.
That's true. One of my new abilities for the hunter, though, does give it disadvantage on reaction or whatever you call them. Opportunity attacks, yeah.
So you kind of have a built-in way to... That's sweet.
I forgot specifically what Zeth does.
Zeth is they can't.
Yeah, your movement does not provoke opportunity attacks at all. Hmm. So, is it worth using the spell slot to keep from getting hit by this guy?
I mean, I think try out the new perk, right? And then when it kills you, we'll learn that Zeph was the way to go.
Yeah, then I'll know better for next time.
You're already so injured, I feel like we're already thinking about, like, options for major healing for you. I am, at least.
Yeah. So I'm going to move away from him and take his opportunity attack with disadvantage.
It attacks with disadvantage, but it hits.
Oh, no.
Well, now next thing is to see if it's enough to take me down.
Yeah, that's enough to take you down.
Oh, no.
You take 31 points of damage.
Hey, oh my Shaba, God. You still have that level 1 spell slot.
Oh, that's right, I do. And it'll come in handy if I'm dead.
We'll try to get you back up, buddy.
Ooh, boy.
Right, now it's a creature's turn. It's going to move over and flank Tookus.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's going to try the tongue this time. That's a hit.
Should I shield, you guys think?
Probably.
They do hefty damage.
Yeah, let's try the shield spell. See if it gets me there.
Shield will work.
Okay, so shield brings your armor class to 26. I roll the 25.
Oh, phew.
So you just barely block the tongue.
Oh, my God.
Spell's great. We saw how good it was with that mage earlier against us.
The second attack does hit you, though, so it claws you.
Oh, really? Oof.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
So he got better than a 26.
26 or better.
Or 26 or better. Okay.
And it hits you for 15. Azla, it's your turn.
All right. I have a tough choice to make here. I could heal Shaba and bring him back up. I'm going to go ahead and assume that these guys don't have a high intelligence score. I could try the old psychic lance.
So, I thought you were going to say sliver.
Yeah, why don't you just mind sliver the one that's almost toast?
Well, it's almost toast. Yeah, that's true.
Because that's also an intelligence save, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Shaba, would you like to be brought back to life?
I find it, generally speaking, that aliveness is better than the alternative.
Well, but we could, if we end the encounter, we could stabilize him and he would wake up for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I were you, I would attack the beast. That's what I think you should do.
But I do think that, you know, we've got 4 people that you could heal. So either or is good. And yeah, us remembering that we have the bottle sleep. I could see how either is viable here, for sure.
You can only cast one spell per turn unless one of them is a cantrip, right?
If you cast a spell that's a bonus action, then you're only allowed to cast one leveled spell on your turn.
Okay.
Yeah. So he could cantrip in addition to... You could see how the cantrip goes and then make your decision to heal or not with the bonus, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Am I interpreting that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you see how your cantrip spell goes and then... Maybe make the decision whether to heal or not.
Yeah. Good plan.
Just like when we're playing a game of Magic, you want to make sure you have all the information before you lock in your play.
Right.
So it's an intelligence save?
Well, should I do that or should I Eldritch Blast?
Do you think he has a better chance of making an intelligence save or an armor class save against your...
That's true.
Yeah, if he's close to dead, this could kill him.
Yeah, probably less of an intelligence save. So yeah, he makes an int save.
That's a failure.
Okay.
How much does it deal?
Here we go. Ooh. Max damage. That's 6 psychic damage.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have 2 dice of damage on a cantrip?
I should have 2 dice of damage on a cantrip, guys.
Yeah, I think it got stronger at level 5.
That's 7 damage.
All right.
Well, it is enough. You see the creature turns its head to the side awkwardly as it's trying to think of whatever it was that you sent in its mind, and then it collapses to the ground.
Oh, yes.
Very nice.
All right, all right, all right.
I would describe it as driving a disorienting spike of psychic energy into its mind.
Hmm. Yep, yep.
Well, it turns its head disorientedly.
Brian, you could still heal us, but I feel like we can make it.
Yeah, I think we can make it now that there's only one left.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I respect you wholeheartedly as my party member and my friend if you still decide to heal us.
Okay. I will not heal us. And end my turn.
Okay. Tukas.
I'm going to attack the beast.
Bring down the beast. These guys aren't beast types, are they?
No.
Okay. Didn't think so.
That would be a 21 to hit. I think that will work.
Hit.
Okay. So that is going to be 7 physical, 6 poison.
Not bad, not bad.
And I'm going to attack again. Oh, I rolled the same thing. Another 21 to hit. Huh. And another 9 fizz and another 5 poison.
Okay.
So 14 that time.
And I glare menacingly at it, but then I remember it doesn't have eyes.
Well, somehow it's aware of you, so.
Glare still counts for style points.
All right, I'm done.
Elindria maneuvers around to flank with you.
Flank buddies.
As she runs by me, I'm like, even though I'm unconscious, I'm like, Elindria, only true love's kiss can wake me from my slumber.
And thanks to the flanking, she once again hits with all 3 attacks.
Elindria, don't listen to him. You and I, we can go get flank steak.
We can run out together.
Because we're flanking buddies.
To the Isles of the Dawn. Let's go find the Towers of Arcanomica together.
I just imagine how you would glisten in your metal beach armor.
Thane's just shaking his head. It's great. I feel like that's part of our goal, is just to like bring Thane to the end of himself at some point in every recording session.
Even if it's no longer an audible Thane sigh anymore, we can just tell by the look on his face that he's sighing inside.
Okay, well, Elindria deals a good chunk of damage with her flaming sword, and she's poised for more. But it's Shava's turn first, so roll to not die.
I will. I will do that. Guys, I'm going to not die, okay? Okay. That's a natural 2.
Oof.
So, we're going to go ahead and fail. One time.
All right. My turn. The creature is going to attack the biggest threat here. I think you all know who that is.
Elindria, no!
Shava, no! Elindria.
Oh, those are horrible rolls.
Yes.
So, Elindria manages to evade both attacks.
Phew.
Ezra. And remember, Shaba is only 1 natural 1 away from dying.
That's true.
That is true.
Although he might have session inspiration, it would be really hard for him to roll snake eyes on 2d20s.
That's true. I do have session insp. So don't worry about me. I've got at least 1 more turn.
Yeah, what is the odds of that?
1 in 400.
1 in 400.
I feel like we could take a 1 in 400 risk.
Yeah, yeah. If I roll 2d20 and I get dub 1-1, then I deserve death.
It's technically possible.
Yes, it is.
We've gotten the double 20s before.
I've gotten a dub 1-1 as well. Someone has, right? I think it was me. That's how the term dub 1-1 was birthed into the world.
I mean, what the bad thing that probably happens is you roll low on both dice and still get 1 death failure.
Right.
That's, like, the most likely bad scenario.
All right, so Ezlo?
All right. Have it make an intelligence save, please. For Mind Sliver.
Fail.
That would be 8 psychic damage.
Beam.
And it will subtract 1d4 from the next saving throw it makes before the end of my next turn.
Okay. And that's all you're doing for your turn?
That's it.
Tokus?
I'm going to attack it with my axe. Not bad. 27 to hit. Yep. And rolling. That's 6 physical and 6 poison. Really okay. Rolling low on the axe, guys.
Well, that happens.
I'm going to attack it again. Ooh, nat 1.
Ugh.
Again somehow. That's my turn.
Right. Well, maybe Alindria can finish. Oh, wait, did you? You're supposed to roll with advantage because you're flanking with Alindria.
I'm supposed to roll with advantage, guys, because you flanking.
Should probably roll with advantage.
I'm gonna actually roll what I'm supposed to roll since I have flank buddies. And
flanking
24.
Flanking is a rule
that hits.
I'm gonna roll some damage there. Ooh, max on that axe.
Oh, that's juicy.
So that's gonna be a 13 axe and 5 poison.
I got the max on my axe when I make the attacks.
All right. It is still alive, but it's looking considerably weakened.
Nice. You would probably be really fun to play Mad Max City, or Mad... What is it? What are those games called? The ones that you play on the TV with your phones?
Oh, Jackbox.
Jackbox.
Oh, Jackbox.
Yeah.
I have Mad Max, I was going to say.
It's Mad... Oh, shoot.
Mad Libs?
No, but it's excellent. It's a rhyming and rapping game.
Mm.
It's actually pretty well put together.
So because I just said that one little thing, you think I would be good at rapping? I hate to disappoint you, but...
What? You're like a writer and stuff. By the way, if you didn't know this, you can buy Shaba's books.
You can. They're by Shaba Daba Do. They're available everywhere fine bookstores are sold.
Yeah, Madverse City is the game.
Madverse City. Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Alindria picks up the slack, attacks the creature, hits all 3 times yet again, even though she didn't really need to.
Wow.
And brings it down with a final stab through its armored back.
Yes!
And the creature screeches and growls before it slams into the ground.
Alindria! Yes.
Guys, you know, I heard that one time a cobra bit Alindria on the leg, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the cobra died.
Yep, I heard that too.
True story.
Wow.
Now, she herself is badly injured.
Yeah, but even though she is, I rushed to Shaba's side.
She was avenging my death. Can't ask for more.
Once we're out of initiative.
Yes, we will tend to Shaba's wounds.
Immediately.
I'll just go ahead and heal him, right? I'll spend
Well, no, we should stabilize him, right?
Spend a slot. I'm just gonna do a Regsky's Cure Wounds.
Yeah, we might not have enough time to wait for him to wake up from his unconscious state. That's true.
So that's a 13 HPs for you.
13 HPs. And I just go... Oh, where am I? Alindria?
Shaba, did you see Stripey?
I saw a long tunnel, and there was a dark shape at the end of it, and Stripey was flying toward me on wings of an angel with a pitchfork in his hand. It was strange.
Were they playing by the wings
Chariots
of an angel?
Chariots of Fire?
Or Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, and then as I drew closer, the light became a blazing fire, and darkness surrounded me. But then I came back.
So you didn't see Kavaki, only Stripey.
I came close, but now here I am with you guys again. What a shame. I mean, thanks for bringing me back.
Well, we're glad you're back in the realm of the living.
So what happened?
We killed them. I mean, Alindria killed them.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Actually, Aslo got a kill.
I did get one. My typical kill steal. Everybody else does all the high damage, and then I come in with a very small, weak spell and kill them at the last second.
That's not true. Sometimes you psychic lance people and their heads explode.
That's true.
So
sometimes I don't deal any damage in combat.
Don't count yourself short.
But he is.
It's hard not to do with my stature.
Okay, so we've got some hit points. Do you think we should gather up with Clapton and try to attempt a short rest? Do you think an hour is too long with the ceremony?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Well, I'd hate to open a new door and have something else attack us.
Yeah, I think we need Clapton with how injured we are. I think your strategy was sound, but I kind of want to just open up the conversation and maybe debate, like, playing down a party member.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
I mean, like, if there hasn't been movement upstairs, I don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go up and check on him.
Yeah, let's check on him. And I think if we took a rest of any type, it's going to progress what the cult's up to, and maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you head back upstairs. See Captain Clefton waiting for you in the foyer.
How is it up here, Captain? Everything quiet?
Yes, sir, all quiet.
You wouldn't happen to have any healing potions, Clefton, would you? We had a rough scuff downstairs.
I'm afraid not. I used all of mine.
Is there, like, okay, there was a meal. Could we, like, go to the... No, that's a short rest. I was going to say, like, we go, like, eat their leftovers and just kind of...
Well, how many hit dice does everybody have if we were to take a short rest? I have 3 left.
I've got 7.
Elendria has 4. Captain Clefton has 7.
Aslan?
I was looking at it earlier. I don't think I've actually used any.
Really? Okay. I thought we used some when we did rope trick.
Yeah, you didn't use any in the rope trick?
I think I might have just not gotten injured.
Wow, in the giant fights and stuff?
In that previous fight?
Okay, yeah, you kept your distance there, huh?
Yeah, you might not have gotten injured. Okay. That's probably true.
So the age-old question, do we short rest?
And where do we short rest?
Yeah.
If we were to short rest.
Yeah, that's true. Why don't we short rest in the foyer?
Well, just hear me out. If we short rest... The cult is likely to be doing stuff. Like, an hour is a long amount of game time this close to the enemy.
Yeah, well, we did come in the evening, so one would assume things are sort of maybe settling down for the night.
Then again, they are cultists who are nocturnal.
There was also that ship that crashed and the guy that ran in, and so something was happening with that.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know whether they're going to tend to the wreckage and clean it up, or if they're planning on immediately... Like, fast-tracking the ceremony or the ritual or whatever.
Could we go back upstairs and find, like, a really comfortable closet to lock ourselves in?
Yeah, we could. I think the question is a matter of the ritual, the time it takes, more than protecting ourselves.
Here's what I think. I think if we rest, we raid the janitor's closet, we clean up the bodies, we find a place out of the way to put them, and we clean the blood off the floor so that if somebody comes in, they're none the wiser that anything has occurred.
Drag the bodies into, like, one of the closets.
Yeah.
Clean. That's a lot to do.
That would take almost as much time as a short rest.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, it actually would take a long time to, like, drag bodies, clean up all the blood.
Yes, it would. But if we short rest, we can't guarantee that nobody will come in.
Maybe we don't short rest. Maybe we press on. Like, let's really look at our faculties here. What have we got?
I have got 2 first level spell slots, a second level, and 2 third.
That's actually pretty decent.
Okay, what can you do with your thirds?
My third, I only have like 1 actual third level spell, I think. I don't think I gain anything from upcasting a healing spirit or anything.
Well, we don't need to heal Tokus. Yeah, upcasting the spirit doesn't do much, right? Just adds like a d6.
Maybe. I don't know.
What about you, Aslo?
Yeah, I have 3 first level slots, 2 second level, 2 fourth level, and 1 fifth level.
Oh, dang.
If you were just to pump out a bunch of like level 1 healing,
then you could bottled sleep.
That's true.
Well, I'm just wondering if he could just heal us based off of... I wonder if you both could heal us based off of what you still have. As far as what Tokus has, I have 1 second level spell slot and 2 level 1 spell slots.
Okay, and I have a greater healing potion. Do we have any other potions left?
If I upcast Healing Spirit to 3rd level twice, that's 4d6 of healing per casting.
I don't think we want to use the Bottled Sleep yet, Aslo, because you kind of want it to also heal you, right? To really min-max the potion. So, like, whatever resources you think you can spend, that might be better than trying to short rest and progress, like, what the cult's up to.
Yeah, let's do that. That's a good idea.
How many level 2s do you have left, Jabba? Like, could you do even just 1 healing spirit?
I have 1 last second level slot.
And why don't we save all your level 3s? It's like 1 healing spirit is significant with how wounded we are, I think.
So if I cast healing spirit, then that's 3d6.
My philosophy here, Brian, would be let's exhaust all of our lower ranked spell slots. Let's save the juicy ones and try to progress as far as we can with your highest level spell slots, Jay's highest level spell slots. So however many lesser ranks we need to go through to get us to like where we feel comfortable continuing. I that would be my strategy, but I'm not the healer. So
yeah,
leave that up to your guys' discernment.
No, I agree. And then potions too, right?
So yeah, you have a potion and
I'll give the greater healing potion to Alendria, since I'm assuming she has a ton of hit points.
Oh yeah, we need to definitely get her in tip-top shape. I think we give up the scouting. I think we need Clapton with us if we're this wounded and now out of slots, right? I mean, like, we're coming down to the...
Yeah.
We're coming down on our resources.
All right, so I'll healing spirit myself once.
And Jay, you haven't spent any of your thunder arrows, right?
Right. No lightning
shots.
Or lightning
shots, yeah.
So I gained 13 from that, so that's decent.
Was that all of the D6s from the spirit?
Yeah. It's all three. That's cast at second level.
And then does Clapton need any healing?
He's down 10.
Okay.
Okay, so he's pretty good.
So we'll give that greater healing to Alendria.
You want her to drink it now?
Yeah.
That's 44.
Plus 4.
Here's an idea. Why don't we go upstairs and go out onto the walkway and see if we can surreptitiously peer out into the yard and see if there's something going on. Like, if it looks like there's a brouhaha forming, like, out in the yard, then maybe they're getting ready to do something. But if not, if all seems pretty calm, then we can use that to inform our decision as far as what to do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
What about even, like, taking the short rest in that room and have the door open with the outlook?
Yeah, we could have somebody guarding or somebody looking out.
I hate to make us spend spell slots if we're just going to take the short rest anyway, though.
Yeah. All right, so upstairs it is.
Well, so we can do more healing.
If we're moving towards a short rest, we should maybe even ask if Thane would let us redact Jay using his second level spell slot. Like, I don't see the point. Like, if we're using spell slots, that's because we're not resting.
Well, mainly because I'm so low and I only have 3 hit dice left.
Okay.
So okay. A short rest isn't likely to get me to full anyway. So I think I would have to use that spell.
Okay. Cool. Fair enough.
So we're going to go upstairs.
Yep.
So you go up to the top level and you look around, checking the courtyard inside the castle walls. You see a few guards here and there standing around. Some of them are walking on patrols, it looks like. You spot that giant bear walking around.
Yep.
Random.
It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of activity happening at the moment. You can see significant amount of light coming from one of the buildings in the northeast corner, but you can't really tell what's happening inside.
Northeast. That would be the tavern, right?
That seemed like where they're celebrating, yeah. I don't think that's the ritual.
Yeah, I guess you did see that before. So yeah, there's still a lot of light in the tavern.
Yeah, they went to go have a party drink or something.
Reverie.
Yeah.
Chances are they probably wouldn't celebrate right before casting a big ritual, right? Like, they would cast the ritual and then celebrate, or they're celebrating tonight because they're going to cast the ritual tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, have a big party and do the thing for tonight and then set everything up later. It probably takes a lot of time to prepare.
No one's going to want to go work after a night of drinking.
That's true. So, can we explore the rest of the walkway while we're up here?
Yeah, it's just like a horseshoe or U-shape that covers from the south to the north side. The whole south wall, though, is not included.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I think we can pretty safely short rest.
Not a long rest. This would be a short rest, perhaps.
Well, if we don't long rest, then how are we spending our night?
That's true.
Are you going to stay all night?
Well, I mean,
that's the question.
And if you do a short rest, you can continue on right afterwards.
Yeah. I feel like it's short rest and we continue because, like, they haven't found us.
Right. So you're saying continue in as far as just exploring the rest of the basement?
Well, no, convince me. So long rest, but then we risk being found out. Short rest, press on with fewer resources, but we're not found out.
Well, there's not likely to be all that much left to explore in the basement.
There are 9 doors down there that you haven't been through.
Yeah, so just hear me out. We do the short rest, we continue on. Yes, that's a little risky, but we still have the ability to be like, okay, if we can't continue on, we just go try to find a place to long rest, just realizing that somebody's going to check on somebody and be like, hey, like, did you get the report from the main complex? No, they haven't communicated in 9 hours. Oh, that's kind of strange. Like, so, like, yeah. I don't think we have an uninterrupted long rest. We may need to take it and, like, hole up in a place that we think is concealed and try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, based on how tightly locked down the keep was, I don't feel like it's the type of place where they're coming in and out all the time, right? It was locked basically during the day or during the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So my only thought is that if we decided that we're not going to do anything else of import tonight, that starting a long rest earlier in the night and therefore being done with it earlier tomorrow morning would be beneficial. But yeah, I mean, there are 9 doors to explore in the basement, but based on the positioning of those 8 down the hallway, I assumed they're just like bedrooms or...
They're just like cells or...
Yeah, dungeon cells
rooms.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another question. What happens if a party is interrupted mid-long rest, mechanically?
You would get your short rest, and that's it.
Hmm.
And it's as though they had not completed any portion of the long rest.
Right, we get a short rest. We could do that too, where we go for the long rest, and if it ends up being a short rest, we still got the short rest. You could be right, Jay. I don't agree. I think the long rest, even if we started it now, is going to get interrupted. That's my read, but I could be wrong.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, I think we get a short because that's more guaranteed. That even could get interrupted. And then explore on. And then if we're just like at the end of ourselves, then we try to go for the long rest. Maybe we get lucky. It still probably just ends up being a second short rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So next question, do we want to do anything with the bodies downstairs in case somebody comes in? Is it worth just dragging them off into some secluded area? Like one of the meeting rooms and locking it or something? Or dragging them into the basement?
How long do we think that would take? Do we have any idea of how long it would take to move and clean the bodies?
You could move them fairly quickly, but cleaning it up so that you couldn't tell that there was a fight there would be next to impossible.
Right, and we gotta like reset the dining room and...
Yeah.
I just think it's a lot.
I think there is at least some benefit to getting the bodies out of there. Because if there's blood on the floor... Then someone's like, oh, a fight happened here. It could be the blood of the intruders that the cult stamped out quickly. But if there's just a bunch of cultist bodies on the floor, then it's obvious from the start, from the moment they walk in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we go upstairs, let Captain Clapton know, drag the bodies into one of the closets, the bigger closet or something.
Yeah, one of the ones that we can lock with the key.
From the private office.
That you've definitely convinced me. That seems... worth doing if it's not going to take that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between the 5 of us, it shouldn't take long.
What kind of floors are in here? Are they tiles, flagstones?
Oh gosh, what if they're like rug and it's just like the blood is just, oh no.
Shag carpeting.
It's stone floor, but they do have rugs in the nicer rooms, like the waiting room and the dining room and the meeting rooms and stuff have rugs.
Heck yeah, dog. Solution solutioned.
Yeah. There we go.
We drag the bodies out of there and cover up the blood with some rugs.
Nice.
Except some of the rugs are bloody, so...
Yeah.
Well, some of them.
That's okay.
This is where we would need, like, unseen servant to, like, clean house while we take our rests.
All right.
That would be a really good use of unseen servant, wouldn't it be? Just be like, hey, you go clean this up.
I'll just cast invisibility on the blood spots.
There you go. That'll work. Yeah, no, if there's anything we can do to conceal them, taking rugs in, or maybe even just, like, moving a couch over some of the spots.
Yeah.
If it's stone, exactly. Then the stone is going to be pretty dark, and the blood won't necessarily show up that well.
Yeah. Let's be as clever as possible with what's available to us.
But while not taking too much time.
Yeah, as quick as possible to... I mean, where are we going to take the short rest? Up on the balcony so we can see?
Yeah, probably. It's probably the best vantage.
Okay, we're going to go to the entertainment room.
I mean, it's the nicest room in the place that we've been to.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well make use of it.
Good place to rest in.
Hey, maybe there's a mini fridge up there. Who knows?
Nice cold Coke, maybe, perhaps?
That's right.
Or two?
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to go rest in the lounge with people periodically looking out on the balcony to see if anyone's doing anything outside?
Yep, definitely.
I mean, as long as it doesn't degrade the short rest quality.
If you're just walking around casually, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll take watches.
Okay, so you stuff all the bodies into the office's storage area. You mop up some of the blood on the floor much as you can quickly. It's still pretty obvious if anyone takes a few seconds to look around that there was a fight here, but...
Then we throw some rugs over that are unspoiled if there's any, like, glaring spots.
You got rugs on rugs.
Oh, there's rugs already on the stone floor in there?
In some of the rooms.
No, I'm saying, like, the... The entryway, the foyer, already has rugs in it?
The foyer doesn't have a rug, but the waiting room where you fought some of them did.
I think, Jay, your goal was to make it not obvious that they lost. I think we could probably pull that off quickly, where it's just the bodies are gone, but there's still remaining blood.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the deal. Or we can spend a lot more time cleaning.
No, I was just thinking if there are rugs that have no blood on them from other rooms, then we can just drag them in here and put them over.
I guess you could drag one from the second waiting room into the foyer and cover up some of it.
Would they notice that the rugs aren't where they were before?
Well, it depends on who they are. Like, if they come into the keep often or...
Maybe we should just store some of the more bloody rugs in the closet with the corpses and just, like, you know, feng shui and right. Use some of the clean rugs.
Bodies and bloody rugs in the closet. Other rugs cover up blood spots and go rest.
Okay. So you do as much as you can reasonably.
Right. That's the idea.
Okay.
It's not much better.
I mean, there's still spots that you can't really cover up easily.
That's fine.
There's the whole shattered corner of the stone wall from the lightning bolt.
Are there braziers or candles or anything on the walls in the entry?
There are candle holders on the walls.
All right, we put out the candles.
Okay.
Make it so it would take longer for them to figure it out.
Yeah.
I like that plan a lot.
Yeah, because again, the stone is probably pretty dark. I mean, flagstone floor is probably not white stone. They usually use darker.
Right, and they're not barefoot. They're not going to step in the blood and be like, oh, that's blood. They're wearing shoes. They're wearing boots.
Yeah.
And you head upstairs and rest for an hour.
Okay.
Watching outside, after about 30 or 40 minutes, you see people start trickling out of the mess hall tavern area, but most of them are just heading off to the south to another building there.
Probably like a barracks.
A few of them are going to various posts, it looks like. Like guarding around the fortress. No one comes to the front door of the keep.
Phew.
And you don't hear any movement from downstairs from where you are. So you manage to make it through your short rest.
Nice.
Sweet.
All right.
Song of Rest is now a D8, so you can add that, Shabba.
Yes. So good.
Foe free.
And Tokus, you should add your second wind if you haven't already spent it.
Yes, I should. I will do that, Thane.
All right, so I... With all my remaining hit dice plus the Song of Rest, I healed 26, which puts me up to 52 of 76.
Oh, and I have... We definitely get the short rest. We're not sure if we get the long rest yet.
Do we want to try for the long rest, or do we just want to take the short rest? Because a lot of people have a lot of hit dice left, so I feel like most people can get back up to at least full HPs, and then we can try to explore the rest of the basement.
Yeah, I think that's good.
That way we know what kind of shape we're in, and then if we need to take a long rest later, we can.
Well, either way, I'll go ahead and heal you again, Shabba. We'll just use a first level slot. That is 7 hit points.
Thank you.
Do you want a little more?
A little more would be nice.
Okay. That's another 10.
10. Perfect.
Elindra is down 25 after using up all of her hit dice.
Oh, boy.
25. All right, I'll do a cure wounds on her as well. That's another... 14 for her.
Okay. So are you going to try for a long rest, or are you going to keep moving?
I think we said we were going to keep moving, right?
Yeah, I think we continue to explore the basement.
So you head back downstairs. You don't pass by anyone. It looks like no one's been up on the main floor.
Okay, good. Let's go ahead and go down the hallway with the doors on either side, with the 6 or 8 doors.
Yeah, and begin checking those.
Okay, all 8 doors are locked.
We... try the keys.
Checking your keys. Each of them had a key to one different room. So you managed to open up the second room on the left and the third room on the right. Both of these are small, simple bedrooms.
Mm.
Each room has a bed, desk, chair, wardrobe. You find a few personal effects, but not much of interest in that regard. You also find another key in one of the rooms.
Mm. Okay.
Perfect.
I think we can safely assume that the rest of these are all just bedrooms.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So the key doesn't look particularly ornate or anything, right? Just a plainish key.
I would assume that's the key that opens the locked door in the room where we fought the brain armored dudes.
The key design doesn't look particularly ornate, but it looks like it's for a complex lock.
Mm.
Okay.
So the keys we have only unlock these 2 rooms of the 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's go down and try the door in the room where we fought the brain dogs.
That one's locked, but the key that you found inside the room opens it up.
Nice.
Oh,
sweet.
Nice.
And it opens to another staircase descending.
Oh, my goodness.
Oof.
Another one?
Another set of stairs?
Sweet cripes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, man. I guess down we go.
Right? Well, we should take Clapton with us, right?
Yes, we should.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take him this time.
Okay.
He's got to come with us. Let's go get him. He's coming with.
All right.
So the five of you head downstairs.
There's no turning back now.
You arrive at a small landing with a single, extra sturdy-looking door on your left, and the stairs continue down. You can see ahead of you, at the bottom of the stairs, there's a faint hint of glowing red.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Might be your imagination, but it feels like it's a little bit warmer down here.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Let's try the door on the left.
It's locked.
Yeah, we have a lot of keys to try on that door.
Yeah. Guys, maybe this caldera, quote unquote, is still mildly active.
Yeah, maybe.
We're going straight into the heart of the volcano.
Yeah. Brian, you told us to remember to pack our fire tunics, right?
I did. Yeah, I did. That's right.
I didn't bring one.
No.
I actually did because Stripey, without my knowledge, put it into my pack before we left.
That was really nice of him.
Before the unfortunate events which transpired. This is his parting gift.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for an episode that's already happened.
Spoiler alert.
Do any of our keys work on this side door?
Nope.
No. Hmm.
I would like to thunder wave it down, please.
I want to check out this next set of stairs, yo. Like, I Sean really wants to know. Like,
I feel myself drawn by the alluring red glow.
I know, me too.
Like, and I'm sure Tokus is curious too, but I have to know. What's at the bottom of the stairs? The
stairs end and you see the walls shift from carved stone to natural cavern, which slowly opens up before you, the red light emanating from somewhere farther ahead. It's barely enough to see by.
Ooh.
You advance cautiously through the cavern, and the heat begins to increase and become oppressive. You can see the cavern opens up to your right, and ahead of you, a smaller passage continues on, which is where the light is coming from. As you press forward and reach the first intersection, you look off to your right and see some shambling, rotten figures standing in the cavern. Two of them turn towards you, and these don't seem as feeble as the zombies that you've encountered in the past. Something about them seems different.
They're lava zombies.
You can see they're kind of oozing this red goo from some of their open wounds.
Called it.
Whoa, they actually are lava zombies.
Called it.
Man.
And they begin to shamble towards you.
Oh, man.
Yikes.